weft.org.
This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champagne 90.1 on your FM dial. And it's Earth Week. And it's Earth Week around the world. And we've had a number of local things associated with Earth Week, planting trees and other things. Our effort was with the plants we transferred from the pocket prairie across the road to the detention pond on 2nd Street. And we gave the prairie that's been going there now for a couple of years and gave it a haircut, from took down its last year's litter, native litter, so that heat and light would get into the plants early in the spring. That's what prairie likes. It usually likes a lot of light. And we did that on Saturday. We did it on Sunday. And then Kuldeeper, who has an Indian background and is into Earth Week, decided that we should tell a story about how I got into combining art and education and science. And could I bring some pictures to show that? Now, we're talking to you on radio, so I'll have to enumerate some of the details of the picture, but we're sort of experimenting because our program goes up on Channel 6 in a banner twice a week, and then it goes up on YouTube. So the pictures are fairly helpful. And if you're trying to talk about monkey and art, then you need to have some idea of the pictures. The first picture we have is of Allerton Park, and it's looking across a backwater pond. When you have a river, it usually has a levee on the side of the river where fast-flowing river water will drop gravel and heavier materials. And then between that and the land behind, there's usually a swamp. In summertime, when it's dry, it's really dry, and you can walk around it. In when it's rainy season, it's going to be a swamp. So the picture is of trees and of the levee in the background with a road up onto the levee, and a swamp in front, and the trees are silhouetted in the pond. So then we go to the next picture, and that's got to be here somewhere. We're experimenting, and here I think we get to the next picture. Yes, got it. Okay, that's much more high contrast, and it's a horizontal picture rather than a vertical. And the white represents ice, and the water in front has fallen down. The water has moved on, and the ice is up about 6 inches off the water, and it's gradually falling into the water. And there's a wonderful sounds of ice cracking, glack, 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 and then it drops into the water like an iceberg. And so that's different. Now we're going to go to a different sort of silk screening. Let me tell you that silk screening that we do, just trying to tell you about the art, science, education background, you have to start with some idea of where we start. We usually start with parents, and parents have given us a lot. And you don't always realize it when you're a child or even when you're an adult, but as you get older, you start to realize how much your parents gave you. Then you have to know where you grew up. I grew up in Australia on a coastal plain with a mountain behind, which was part of a tectonic plate moving up. So I could go up the hill, 7 miles of winding road and waterfalls, to a plateau that has a little pieces of volcanic material on it. And that gives you an idea that that plateau would leak water down onto the coastal plain. And so there was a Bellinger River that ran out to the Pacific. And so I grew up with that. We had no electricity. We had no running water. The water we had came off the roof. And if we ran out of water, we went down to the river with an old whippet car and harvested water. So then you know a little bit of background. My mother was an artist and a seamstress, and my father was a teacher. And that's probably enough to let you know where I started. The silk screening came when I came to the US. I could not find a prairie easily. Eventually I found it, and it was almost none left because the rich glacial till that comes down from Canada is deposited as glacial till, and it's very rich soil. Give it 10,000 years, the glacier moved back with the climate change and left mounds that are called moraines. And those moraines have an outwash plain. So we chose silt screening because it's fairly straightforward. If you understand a stencil, if I have a young children to work with, I'll make several stencils, and one would be green for the grass and blue for the sky. And so you're looking at a picture that has cattle in it, and you can have black for the cattle or a different color. And you can take a little piece of cardboard and some ink, those different colors inks, and squeeze it across the stencil, and you can make a print. And you can make several prints, and that always amazes young children. And you can hang them up to dry, and then you come back and you put the next color on. So what you have up at the moment is sky blue, pasture green, and cattle black. It's on black paper, so you don't really have to print that particular area. Let's go on to the next. You know a little bit about the fact that silkscreen is taking that stencil and tying it together with fabric so that when you squeeze across it, it stays intact. And if you do a photo silkscreen with a very complex scene like the one we did first with Allerton Park Bottomlands, then you have to have something to hold the screen together. And you can do it photographically. You have a photographic material where if you light falls on the photographic material, it will rot in certain places. So that then you put a silk screen into it, and it creates these fibers, and wherever the material in the photographic material was exposed by light, then it will be the area that prints. And we're going to keep on. We can do it rough and tough if we're just printing a sign, but some of these prints are aimed to let you see what we see. And if you're a prairie nut, which I became after a while because I felt that this prairie needed some advocacy, and so I got involved. And that's part of the storyline is how did I get involved? Well, yes, the university studies that I came to were largely specialized classes where your biochemistry was very advanced and your education was advanced. and your art was the same way. When you're a generalist, you have to include those three, and you're not a specialist in any one. So gradually I found out how to do this. I worked with the Curriculum Lab, the Office of Instructional Resources, and Extension, and the various departments would use us, and sometimes the pictures would count, sometimes we'd have to be there as a person and give us a small talk. Sometimes somebody would want one slide or two slides. Sometimes people would want 100 slides and shown quickly. So we were very flexible, and we worked with contingency money, which was available. Eventually, the contingency money, which it comes to every head of department to encourage their staff to do research and teaching. And some of that contingency money dried up. And so we had been working with the communities some, we came to downtown Champaign, and at that time, downtown Champaign was getting evacuated because all the businesses were going to the modern malls, and that left the dead central business district. So we joined Market Street, which had been vacated for buildings. We had hoped to get four different agencies in there, non-profit agencies, and basically we've done that. We were asked Kresge Foundation for support, and they said, we like the idea, but you guys don't have any collateral. If we were going to fund a heart ward for medical things, then we have the, if you go broke, we have the hospital as collateral. You guys are so poor, you don't have that collateral. So we didn't do that, but we did get WEFT, and we did get Ruble with Poco Studios for sound. We had various other iterations. We now have a gaming parlor in the fourth shop, and a tattoo parlor has replaced Ruble's sound studio. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. So I'm now going to go to the next picture. The next picture is a fence line. And for those of you who are listening, this is a bunch of hog wire. Hog wire is just big enough for a pig to not get through. And on that hog wire fence with a barbed wire on the top is a milkweed. So we have to explain to our audience that this is part of the prairie. This is when this fence was in there a long time ago, and there's plants growing in the ground around. And so this is where some of our prairie is. And the state has managed to save like 0.01% of the prairie, and it's in little pieces like this. So we go looking for these sorts of pieces to find little remnants of prairie that have been around for like 10,000 years. There are places where you can reproduce prairie, but it's not as sophisticated as a remnant prairie. So we hunt for remnant prairies on old railroad lines and in old cemeteries that have vacant lots that haven't been used yet, and little corners where you couldn't turn a team of horses, but now we lose those because you can put a tractor in there and a few more rows of corn. So this is a very old fence line. Now, I'm going to show you a very new fence line. This one, the posts are all very erect. When you're working with glacial till that is deep and friable, the posts of an old fence line usually lean this way and that, and you can recognize an old fence. Well, this is a fairly new fence. It's probably to keep horses in or something like that. And you have a strainer post because you're trying to keep the posts erect. And there are weeds. These weeds are weeds, not remnant prairies. So this is a very different fence. And this is a bird in a tree. And it's a fairly regular picture, but it gives you a chance to put your own imagination into this. This is your tree, this is your bird, and you have a story about it. So what we do is by going to a contrast, high contrast image, we take out the color, usually take out the contrast, the very soft colors, soft textures are gone, and you put that in. So that bird may be a bird that you knew or you recognize. It might be a grackle or it could be a cardinal, but we didn't have any color on. If we want to emphasize it, we can put the cardinal in color. I'm now looking for my... Patience there. We'll get there. Yes, there we are. Now we have where people get involved, conservationists get involved, and we have a farm field with sunflowers, and it's known as a bird strip. It's a strip of farmland, sometimes with just corn left. It's intended for wildlife, birds and small mammals to have some feed. That's part of the problem with the Midwest, is that practically every natural area has been utilized for agriculture. So it's kind for farmers to have a bird strip. Now back again. And now we can play with our silk screens. This is a Pine Hill, Indiana, and some of you will know it. It's a big meander going through an area that has been used for agriculture. The canyon is not used for agriculture, but the agricultural fields have sometimes been allowed to go back to nature, and it usually is not the nature of 10,000 years ago. It's the nature of very aggressive, weedy trees and plants. So you go down that, you go through a sequence of ecology. So you go from old field succession to a beech maple forest, and then you go down through hemlocks and down to a little creek where there's sycamore that likes a little more water, and there are some fossils in there. And it's just a wonderful place to be at. But being artists, we have printed it in reverse. The trees are white on a black background. It's very hard to do, actually, because to print white over a black piece of paper is awkward. So it gets to be a little on the grayish side, which is also interesting. But it, you have to make sure you get good cover. So we have shadows, and so you can use your imagination in this print. Now we have specific things. If you photograph, you will see your things. If people are in a satellite, they will see their things, and you will never see those. But if they are kind enough to share them, different people provide different images. If it might be microscopic, it's a very minor, very detailed thing. It might be like picturing a chlorophyll or some molecule. But this particular picture is of a sycamore, and it has a long extended arm. And behind the arm is a distant field of prairie, and then some forest. And that has a certain feeling about it. And you might walk by it regularly because it's something you go by. But every once in a while, you'll stop and look, and it will give you a jolt as to something different. I have to get a little arrow that goes down to, there we've got it. And now you're looking at a retired barn. And a retired barn is built with substantial beams. We didn't have a lot of forest here, but we would get beams from Wisconsin and from Texas and other places. But this barn sits out lonely. It has snow in the front of it, which would indicate that the barn is not being used by livestock. It may have vertical siding, or it maybe have horizontal siding. It had a little bit to do with where it came from, where your sensitivity came from Europe. It has a jut out which will allow you to take hay and pull it up into the hay mower or the upper story, so that in winter time you could feed your cattle that were housed away from the cold in the winter, along with horses and with sheep and hogs. So once again, you're putting information of your own into this picture. Now we're going to go to Beauty Woods. Here is a kiosk. A kiosk, in biological terms, is a station where you have information that gives you an idea of what you're going to see when you move into Beauty Woods. Beauty Woods is a huge meander with a narrow neck. And when people wanted to do agriculture here, whether first of all with cattle and then later with row crops, the water was everywhere. This was one of the last settled counties because of that water. And so the drainage people would cut through the neck of the meander. We talked a little bit about this at Lake Park, something the same. And so there's a map, and the leftover meander becomes a vernal pond. So in spring, it starts to get green, and it has water fleas and all sorts of other things in here. And this is at Anita Purvis Center, which is a center to go with it. And Anita would be hunting for mussels in the vernal pond. And there would be a stand where she could lead out and dip net for creatures. And so that's why the center is named the Anita Purvis Center, because she passed on at a very early age, and that was sad. So we leave the kiosk and we go across a suspension type bridge to the Busey Woods, which is probably about 56 or more acres. We don't have it decimal terms, but it's a fair chunk of natural area. And it's really very natural because creatures can use it as a place to hide and breed. But there's a cemetery nearby, a black cemetery or a Caucasian cemetery, a country club, fairgrounds, and a park district, Crystal Lake Park. And they are all areas that augment Busey Woods. We have a boardwalk through the park. This was intended to be a landfill area to some extent, perhaps for commercial purposes or for residential. It didn't happen. The conservation people were fairly strident about getting into this woods as a natural area. Eventually, the woods was donated to the university, and then it got back to be in the park district. So it's about a park district, and they have gotten a grant to put a boardwalk in. So you are dry, you don't have to walk through the mud on a rainy day, and you don't have to destroy the vegetation around by slip sliding in. And you'll see that there's one tree is leaning sideways, and that's because this is one of the big groves that were very few trees in Champaign County, 94% prairie, but where there are little trees or little areas of forest, they usually help to keep themselves up because they're there as partners. And a big grove is one of these. And this is, Busey Woods is part of this big grove, but it's got thinned out to some extent, used for wood, and the tree has shallow roots, so it's leaning sideways, but it's still there. That's very typical of this particular rather nice woodlot. Right at the moment, the warblers and the creatures are migrating through. So you can, if you're a bird watcher, you can go bird watch, and it's rather wonderful. The next picture deals with the pond. It's in the winter time, so the ice is label. It's been cold, and then it's the water doesn't get lower, but the ice moves into the water, and you could almost walk across the vernal pond with the ice about 2 inches below the water. And so, interesting. It might be something that you don't see on this particular day, and you might be able to bring it to other people. Now we're going to Rantoul. You have a rather crude map here. We get to sketch things quickly sometimes. You have a cemetery, and you have a fairly recent Route 45 going north, and it was a little wider than the area between the railroad bed and an interurban and the cemetery, so it went round the cemetery. And Then 57 got put in, so that took a lot of the traffic to 57, and the new 45 was going to be two lanes wide, two corridors wide, but since 57 went in, it only was one lane wide, and not one lane, but one road wide, the bought land for the expansion was put into trees and some prairie there. And so the north triangle, north of the cemetery, is where we have a prairie. It was part dug for for gravel. There's 8 feet of glacial till was taken. Glacial till is a wonderful base for road pack. So some of that area is coming back to nature. It's not 10,000 years old. It is simulating 10,000 years old. It's a regrowth prairie. But around it, there's native prairie that didn't get dug up. So we have a mixture of remnant prairie and garden prairie, and they're very similar, but one is much more complex than the other, and you have small areas, so you have to be careful how you don't let some plants get to be overwhelming. Some will take advantage of the site, and this site extends 10 miles to Paxton. And we would love to have the Department of Transportation, which owns a lot of the land, roadside, that to restore this as a lot of native remnant prairie. So drawing a quick sketch is rather important. And if you're watching carefully, you can see that there's a little piece of farmland that's in between us and the cemetery. And we would like to buy that to extend the teaching possibility of the cemetery. So we would have a somewhat native remnant and a more pragmatic remnant where people could walk through and stomp on a prairie if necessary. But we'd use it to encourage 10 miles. So now we're going to go to you here you'll see us operating on that prairie. So there's a yellow gate to the right, and the yellow gate is pretty huge. It's designed, the old Route 45 went behind the cemetery, and it was a highway in its day. And we have two cars parked there on that site, and that can be a bicycle way, we hope, without much remodeling. It's very typical to remodel these places by taking it out and putting in a new and efficient bike way, which we think that this is historic and should remain as a historic place. The people who put the gate in are the Department of Transportation, and it's designed to prevent people from dumping on our prairie. You will see that there's a bunch of steel posts in the foreground, and they're designed to also keep off-road vehicles out. The gate doesn't get everything. It gets dump trucks, but motorcycles and others can invade. And we'd like to remind them that this is a natural area. And so we park here with our tools and whatever. And tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be leaving for Rantoul to work on the prairie. I'm now looking at probably about 9 acres of prairie. It's early in the spring. You can see to the right one teasel plant. We have kept the teasel out of this. This is an invasive species, and that's what we'll be looking at tomorrow morning. Is any young teasel coming up, we will spot herbicide. We're not big herbicide users, so we don't blanket herbicide. We just go for that plant and be pretty constant about it. The trees in the background are parallel to the railroad line, which reminds you that most of our prairies are very near the railroad line because people weren't allowed to dig up and destroy the railroad right away. So it's been disturbed a little bit to put in the railroad. It's got a nice transect across from the railroad. There's a railroad line, there's an old interurban, there's a old Route 45, then there's a cemetery, not the cemetery, well, yes, the cemetery, but you go across the triangle that we have to the north and across the new 45, and these areas are all related. And there's a nice transect that goes up and over a moraine called the Bloomington Moraine. And we have a very light diagram that shows how the moraine was left by the glacial material that warmed when the weather warmed up, the glacier melted, and the glacier would melt into a swampland that created the wetness of Champaign County. Flatwell is a typical situation. But we like to look at this transect that goes from wetland to medium moist areas to dry on the top. And there's a covering of loss because when the rivers like the Illinois River and Mississippi River dried up, then loess or a windblower material is blown across the continent and capped the glacial till. So just that little diagram is very helpful. We have to convince people to take an interest in their ecosystem, and it's very hard to take them 18 miles out of town to see just what looks like a bunch of weeds. And for six generations, everyone has been getting rid of the prairie so that they can plant corn and soybeans and have cattle. And so we haven't thought much about preserving what is almost an extinct ecosystem. We watch railroad beds, and for a long time, there's a railroad bed. The the railroad was being used, but not very much. When that happens, you have a suspicion that it might close out at some time. Well, eventually it did, and we'd already been buying the railroad bed in the Monticello area. So we took out an interim trail agreement with the federal government. At that time, in the early 80s, the railroads were abandoning railroads. They'd been given permission to buy. The people had been to war in World War II. They came back. They'd been driving tanks and flying planes, and they wanted highways. And the Eisenhower administration was big into expressways and highways. And the old roads were kind of narrow alongside the railroad line. They usually followed the railroad line. So what you're looking at in this slide is a very wide railroad bed that's been converted to a bicycle trail. The railroaders were worried about the loss of connectivity if they were wanting to come back with a railroad. And so the agreement here is that with the federal government is that they will provide money to support the development of a trail as a bicycle way, but there will be a regulation that if this railroad bed were to come back in for business reasons or manufacturing, that the trail would go back to rail. So that's not likely to happen because a lot of these lines were grain lines that have been superseded by road transport. But even if we only have it for 100 years, that is good. And it might be the whole technology for railroading will change. But if you wanted to replace this corridor in the future, it would cost you an arm and a leg to do that. So the railroaders convinced the federal government to put in a rail banking act that gives this particular trail $12 million for 25 miles. It's being developed in pieces. What you're looking at is a piece where the early ecologists knew there was prairie here, and even more recent ecologists have used it. It had right of way on either side of the main line. But if you notice carefully, there's a row of telephone poles. Like usual, they're in glacial till, so they don't always stand up straight. But that's where there was an interurban, and that had electricity, and it brought electricity to small towns. Well, that also adds prairie, but our disappointment in this case is that it's so wide that it's taken out that prairie. And interestingly, one of the students of early ecologists, Vestal and I'm forgetting the other one, but they would use this territory, and their student was George Fell, and he came from Rockford, and he and his wife had been standing on an area of an airport where they wanted to put a runway, and they were saying this is valuable prairie. And then George and his wife Barbara went off to Washington and created the Nature Conservancy, and he did very well at doing that. After a while, his probably selected board decided they wanted to do something specific, like working with coastal areas near Long Island. And this is not what George wanted. He wanted chapters all throughout the U.S. So they, more or less in a friendly manner, fired George. He came back to Illinois and spent 23 years creating forest preserves and nature preserves and research centers. And that one man started a movement which is now an international organization. The Nature Conservancy has just bought a whole bunch of stuff in Australia and do wonderful things. So when you look at this now, you wonder, can I put up a historic marker somewhere to say the Nature Conservancy had a foot here? So this is to beg that the trail further on, when it is going to be developed, will not be as wide as this, and not have this side invaded by widening of the road that is alongside or by farm fields. We'd like you to ride a bicycle through nature, through not a whole bunch of trees that are invasive trees, but rather some of our native prairie. Think about that. So that's why this picture is there. And that's when you ask why we're doing what we're doing, that's what we're doing. Here's a picture that is done by Laura Rickler. And it shows very well a nice narrow trail on our railbed, Heartland Pathways Railbed at Monticello. It's in a snowstorm, so it shows up, but you can see that the trees are right up against the walkway. And even though the walkway is now, it's wide enough to even allow wheelchairs to go, and the trees are still there. And we have a problem that some of the funding agencies want clear cut, but we think this is a pretty reasonable thing to do. We have three truss bridges, and this is one of them, again by Laura Rickler. And she's in Monticello. She keeps her eye on these sorts of things. And these bridges are wonderful for trails. Otherwise, you'd have to spend many millions of dollars doing this. Now I want to take you to a species. I did this with my mother. It's a stiper. It just has a real character. And if you watch your nature, often it has mathematical models. You'll have opposite leaves and alternate leaves. And there's so much dignity in the growth of the wildlife that we're losing at such a rapid rate. This is a diarrhea plant, and it has character. Again, it's a print white on black. I'm looking for my you have to get one arrow on top of the other arrow, and it's very small. Got it. And this is a repeat of the prairie that we're rather proud of at Rantoul, and I think that's the last slide I have. So now we go to stops the visual, and you're back to my talking head. And I forgot to put up a backdrop, so you're getting my stored place. But the silkscreen prints have been rather wonderful. They have sold and provided us with a little bit of funds. They each have a storyline, and that means you have to have someone to write a story and put it on the back and say where any funds are going to go. So that's my story. And thanks for being patient while we do it for both radio and television. We have development around us, and you have to think in Champagne. It's near the railroad line. It's a commercial town, as distinct from Urbana, which is not quite so commercial. And there's development. The people have come back from the mall. The mall, there's big empty boxes in the malls around the country. And so the small communities are beginning to grow. And WEFT and Heartland Pathways is being joined now by a tattoo parlor next door to where Rubel had his Pogo Studios. And we met last night and talked, and the tattoo artist was showing me some of the tattoos that she had installed just this last week. And she is an artist, and we will have her on sometime to interpret this conglomeration of people. We're hoping that we have some arty people that will remain downtown and sort of modify the a drive to be commercial in a broader sense. The city would love to have a hockey team with a big stadium that could be used for venues. At the moment, if they have an organization to come to town, the big organizations won't come because the small motels are here and there and all over the place. And so there has been a move to put $250,000 into a development around the MTD building and Inman Hotel and have an ice hockey team. The university would be involved with the sporting aspects of this. It's been sort of put on hold by the virus experience, but it will arrive again. But we'd like to have art people remain downtown, whether it's sculpting or commercial art or a whole range of people doing their own thing. It's hard to do because as gentrification progresses, then the price of buildings goes up and the price of rental goes up, and that can chase artists to surrounding communities where they're much less able to be seen. So across the road, apartments are going on top of the poor tap. And so there's a big gondola dumpster there. And I watch it. I watch the sheets of plaster come in bundles with spacer sticks so that the front end loader can go underneath the bundle and take it up and move it through a window to the upstairs. But all those spaces, those spacers made of compressed wood, weighing quite a little bit, went into the dumpster. And I would like to say, especially in Earth Week, that those could be recycled. But that takes a little time and a lot of energy, and it doesn't pay at the moment. We have to make that pay. Around the corner, I just encountered what used to be Reiner's early development in Champagne, a Greek background. Dr. Youngerman owns a bunch of buildings there, and he's retired from being an ear, nose, and throat specialist with quite a reputation for being a doctor. He's retired to work on some of the buildings that he owns, and one of them has been converted into a unit that is past a bar, but also a place where you can hold weddings and have facilities for wedding parties to get dressed and organized. And that is another aspect of what's happening here around WEFT. If you're not careful, the tax base of your building can go up so high that you can't stay here. But we hope that will happen. There's a bunch of us that are turning 40 in the community. And we've been wondering about putting in a video division that would handle pictures. One picture is worth 1,000 words sometime. When I did 60 pictures in Busy Woods recently, that would take me a fortune of literature to explain a lot of the visual material. I think it's a visual world, and WEFT has been doing very well as a radio station, and we still need the radio station. But there are a lot of community-type video things that could be done from a visual base. So we're thinking, how do we get our various organizations together to make this possible? Packer, I was at Packer this morning. I deliver things. People bring me things. People ask, I had one people just yesterday asking if we had shooting planes that are used by carpenters in early days. When I talk about the wedding facility around the corner, the building at one stage had a metal worker underneath, a blacksmith underneath. And you had livery stables, and you had harness repair places. And so we would like to keep some of that character around. And I think the city is doing fairly well at trying to encourage that too. So we might be dreaming of a bigger and better gentrification, but at the same time, we need to keep some of these artists. Some of them are very modern artists and already express themselves in many places in downtown. And I think I will say one more thing about Packer. Packer's reorganized its organization. Packer salvages materials from all the buildings that are being destroyed for more modern buildings. They haven't actually wanted to be a museum, but they get a lot of older items that you have to think 25 times to figure out what the devil this was. Some people know, and some people discover it might be an older brick, or it might be someone who uses older materials in building little houses and comes in and gives Packer a little display with houses as a thank you for getting the salvage materials that he gets. So if you want a lock or an old door lock with an old style handle, you can get it. If you're looking for a door or a window, and this morning they were moving in a display case, and they've accepted the fact that that Packer has to probably display some of its older George Washington things, or they have names for some of the creatures, that the skeletons that are there, and pieces of building that have come off interesting dados. And so all these things are going on fairly close to your weft base, and we want you to keep watching and inspiring yourself to look as you're walking around and say, squint your eyes sometime and think about the building that you haven't perhaps given attention to. If I go over to the Presbyterian, the Methodist churches, they have the elements of what was when the churches were around the square. But now there's additions that keep people free from snow and storm. But the addition that's modern is perhaps a little different from the original. So some buildings try very hard to replicate what was and modify it for business use. Certainly you have to wire some of these buildings for internet and other other things. Commodities are grains and things that people sell, and that's a whole story too. But I think we're getting near to the end of our time. This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. And think about this week. It's still here, and Packer will have a presentation, an annual report on Sunday, I think it is, at 2 o'clock. If in doubt, call Packer. There are awards for people who've done interesting things, and it'll probably take about 2 hours, but
It's well worth going to. Thank you.
It's WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to a pre-recorded show of Shrew.